welcome to Headlines and Highlights, breaking the corporate media stranglehold here on 96.3 FM Free Radio Santa Cruz. My name is the V-Man, and I'll be your host for this half-hour look back at the news and features broadcast on Free Radio Santa Cruz. Each week, Headlines and Highlights will also put the spotlight on musicians that use their talents to educate and entertain. In this inaugural edition of Headlines and Highlights, we'll hear from Joe Patak on the decision to shut down pirate radio station Kind Radio in San Marcos, Texas. And later, we'll hear from Dan Merkel of the Independent Media Center, who discusses how the Independent Media Center was started and the role it will play in changing society. Please stay tuned for Headlines for the week ending September 7th, 2000. More than 30 rebels of the anarchist democratic forces are suspected of carrying out an attack Saturday, September 2nd, on the Nkuku police post in Kabale, Uganda. Two policemen were killed and another abducted in the attack. The rebels took 20 guns, a police uniform, and looted the post of an assortment of drugs. 13 military personnel deployed to the police post were also abducted. The suspects then addressed the masses at the Nkuku Trading Center and chanted slogans denouncing the International Monetary Fund. Ugandan Army spokesman Phineas Katrima vowed to capture the suspects, stating, "The army is pursuing them. We cannot accept this kind of terrorism, and we are going to get them." The United States continued a campaign of enforcing no-fly zones over southern Iraq this week, bombing air defense sites on Saturday, September 2nd. According to a military press release, the sites were targeted to further degrade Iraq's ability to jeopardize coalition pilots and aircraft enforcing United Nations mandates. At press time, Iraqi officials had no information about casualties or damage from Saturday's attack. On Friday, September 1, 2000, Los Angeles County Judge William P. Ryan agreed to drop all misdemeanor charges against 71 critical mass bicycle riders arrested there August 15th. 57 cases were dismissed Friday, while the remaining 14 cases were dropped on Tuesday. Los Angeles Assistant City Attorney Howard Gluck earlier had offered to reduce the misdemeanor cases to infractions, but ultimately bowed to pressure from defense attorneys and asked that the action be taken, quote, in the interest of justice. "I wasn't going to tie up the courts on these cases after a penalty had already been exacted," he said, referring to activist claims of police misconduct during the arrests of the bikers. Some were injured and others denied medical attention while in jail. Meanwhile, of the 194 total arrests during the Democratic National Convention protests, two activists remain in custody. Felony charges are being levied against an animal rights activist accused of conspiracy and another individual alleged to have thrown bottles at police from an apartment rooftop. Officials are also pursuing federal charges against five others. Contrary to claims made by Philadelphia Police Commissioner John Timoney that police would not spy on activists during the Republican National Convention, a document surfaced implicating Pennsylvania state troopers in a campaign of espionage on activists organizing a puppet warehouse there. The unsealed search warrant documents, released Wednesday, September 6, 2000, details how state police operatives posed as demonstrators. According to these documents, undercover agents arrived at the warehouse 4 days prior to the convention, slipping into the space and mingling with activists. On August 1st, around 75 people were arrested. "This is an outrage," said Stephen Presser, legal director of the ACLU of Pennsylvania, criticizing the police for creating a climate of fear and intimidation. Police Commissioner John Timoney refused to comment, citing pending litigation which challenges these arrests. And finally, on September 5, 2000, AIDS activists with the group ACT UP disrupted a $500 a plate fundraiser for presidential candidate George W. Bush. ACT UP confronted Bush at the Bethlehem Holiday Inn in Pennsylvania while the candidate was unveiling his Medicare plan. Mark Milano, a man living with AIDS, interrupted Bush, shouting, quote, "You have never mentioned the word AIDS." He also held a sign which read in part, "You sold out people with AIDS to big drug companies." Bush, who did not reply, appeared dumbfounded and stood with his mouth agape as Milano was dragged out yelling, "Act up, fight back, fight AIDS." According to Laura McTighe of ACT UP, Bush's Medicare plan is corporate welfare, pure and simple. Rather than using the bulk purchasing power of this giant program to decrease prescription prices, Bush's plan would create a complicated scheme of reimbursement that will limit the coverage of insurance companies and permit drug companies to keep prices high, while most seniors and sick people will continue to pay thousands of dollars a year. As the candidate was exiting and shaking hands, ACT UP activists again shouted, "What about AIDS?" and also blocked the motorcade as it attempted to exit the parking lot. Three activists were detained by police and issued citations for littering and disorderly conduct. One ACT UP member was held in a chokehold after stepping off a sidewalk into the street. And those were headlines for the week ending September 7th, 2000. On Friday, September 1st, 2000, MicroKind Radio in San Marcos, Texas, shut down at 4:20 p.m. after 3.5 years of pirate broadcasting. Earlier in the day, MicroKind Radio received notice of a summary judgment granting the FCC a temporary injunction forcing the station off the air. I spoke with co-founder Joe Patak on September 6th of this year. We discussed Kind Radio's history with the FCC, as well as what the future holds for the radio outlaws in Central Texas. I asked Joe to explain the court proceedings which led to Friday's summary judgment.
Okay, we actually were one of the first stations to get a compliance hearing with the FCC, and unfortunately we don't feel we were treated very well in that process. Our attorney died just a month or so before our initial court date, and the FCC didn't give us any time to actually get another attorney or get our original papers together in a timely manner. Fortunately, the FCC also failed to follow proper rules and regulations in the filing of their paperwork when they originally tried to get a cease and desist order against us. And the flurry of paperwork back and forth, basically in our position being that as a non-commercial public access press, where we have 14 hours a week of news and information programs, we actually had, in emergency situations, provided life-saving communication source to the entire community when we had a flood here, and other activities such as that, which we felt demonstrated that it was in the public interest for low-power FM stations like ours and many others to be able to have access to the airwaves as long as they weren't interfering with already established stations, which we've been able to prove. And so we ended up filing lawsuit with the district court, the federal courts, against the FCC on July 4th of 1999. And it was in response to that lawsuit that on September 1st, we received a temporary injunction from Federal District Judge Fred Berry, ordering us to temporarily cease operation until our court date, which will be September 29th, at which time we'll be able to present our arguments for reopening in the public interest. And the FCC, I'm sure, will be seeking a permanent injunction against our broadcast.
Now, what was the reason that the judge stated in his decision that he was ordering you to shut down temporarily until this hearing?
Well, it doesn't. It's a really weird. We talked to our lawyers, too. They've never really seen anything like it. It was a one-page fax.
A fax? You received a fax?
Yes.
They didn't even, it wasn't even sent to you certified mail?
No, I received a copy of the fax by certified lawyer from our mail, from our lawyers.
Huh.
And so it's very unusual. We're checking out if that's adequate service, but when you have an order from a federal district judge, it's, and he did not order a permanent injunction at this time, we don't want to piss him off stop any further. He could have already thrown our case out. We're being optimistic and hope that he will recognize our good faith effort to comply with his order, and he will give us a good faith listening to our arguments, and hopefully the Constitution will prevail.
So with this cease and desist order, I have to ask the inevitable, is this the end of Kind Radio?
Well, it's the end of Kind Radio as we knew it, up to the past. The first, of course, once you have something begin and go through an evolution and there's a termination point, things are going to change. As we know it, Kind Radio is no longer in existence. However, there will be a spawn of Kind Radio in our local community, and there are many people who are excited and looking forward to doing that. And some of the alternatives are web radio broadcasting on the web. We have had on www.mediadesign.net real audio broadcast of our programming for 3 years about, and we may go ahead and go back up on the internet that way. In the meantime, there's also low power television access that we're looking at also possibly pursuing, and just trying to continue to press for the rights of non-commercial media to be able to reach the public that needs the information.
All right, so how can people contact you in the meantime and support you before your next court hearing on September 29th this year?
You can give us a call down or a letter down here to Joe Patak, at Joe PTAK, Kind Care of Kind Radio over here at 505 Patricia Drive, San Marcos, Texas, 78666. We would appreciate letters to Federal District Judge Fred Berry. I don't have his address, unfortunately, right now. It's in San Antonio. If y'all send a letter to us, we can go ahead and make sure we get it on to the judge. And we urge people to pursue access to the airwaves in any way that they feel that is appropriate. There is our efforts are also talking about continuing non-licensed broadcasting in other forms in this area because they feel that the FCC's restrictions are too great. And there continue to be micro power broadcasts in Austin even today. And I think this is going to be a battle that each station is going to fight, hopefully down to the federal court district judge, so that the judges get so tired of dealing with them in all the different communities that hopefully something will change.
All right, Joe Patak from Kind Radio, San Marcos, Texas. I want to thank you for joining me tonight.